AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Jackson Hewitt.
I'm Matt Piper in New York. The Biden administration is doing all it can to try and ease the fears of investors following the sudden collapse of two banks. The president insists no losses will be borne by the taxpayers. As for his next steps,
I'm going to ask Congress and the banking regulators to strengthen the rules for banks to make it less likely this kind of bank failure would happen again.
Jill Schlesinger is our business analyst here at CBS News and says this is different than the financial meltdown that began with the bursting of the housing bubble 15 years ago.
Depositors are getting rescued at Silicon Valley Bank, at Signature Bank, but shareholders are not. And according to President Biden, he said, look, we're fine helping depositors. Shareholders, risk takers, management, no. We're not doing that.
The northeastern part of the country is bracing for heavy snow and rain beginning tonight and lasting for a couple of days. Aaron Huteri is with the Bangor, Maine Public Works Department.
Crews right now are planning to work a 32-hour shift from the beginning of the storm right through overnight and clean up the next morning.
And there are multiple states of emergency, including for parts of New Jersey. Governor Phil Murphy.
We are ready for whatever comes our way over the next plus or minus 36 hours.
When President Biden was a candidate for president, he said no more drilling on federal lands, period. But he has just approved one of the largest drilling projects in Alaska in decades. Correspondent Ed O'Keefe explains.
It's called the Willow Project. It's being run by ConocoPhillips along the northern slope of Alaska, what is the largest natural reserve of U.S. land anywhere in the 50 states. In essence, the White House and the Interior Department saying that these leases date back to the late 1990s, and ConocoPhillips would have had a good case in court to argue that they've had these leases. They're opting now to develop them, and the federal government can't stand in the way of an agreement that was made several years ago.
Residents in Las Vegas could soon have to limit the amount of water they use.
Nevada lawmakers are considering giving authority to limit residential water use to the agency that controls the Colorado River. Right now, the river supplies water to seven states. It supplies Las Vegas with 90% of its water. The proposal would allow the agency, if needed, to set a maximum amount of water use per year. There have been efforts for years to reduce water use in Las Vegas, including banning some types of lawns and limiting the size of new swimming pools. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
Jurors failed to reach a unanimous sentencing decision for Saifullah Saipov on whether he should get the death penalty. He will instead spend life in prison without the possibility of release. It's over his 2017 ISIS-inspired terror attack that killed eight people in New York City. This is CBS News.
Choose Jackson Hewitt for 50% off and your guaranteed biggest refund. 50% off is a limited-time offer for new clients filing at participating locations. Max value $200. Visit jacksonhewitt.com/...
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin is getting hit with its third heavy snowfall in the first 2 weeks of March. Parts of northeast Wisconsin are getting the worst of it. Shawano, Outagamie, Brown, Winnebago, Waupaca, Calumet, and Manitowoc counties are under a winter storm warning. Surrounding counties are under a winter weather advisory. The city of Madison is retroactively dismissing 282 tickets for marijuana possession. People who were fined between February of 2019 and December of 2020 will have the charge expunged from their records. Recreational marijuana is illegal in Wisconsin, but a Madison City ordinance loosens restrictions on small amounts. In sports, the Bucks are at Sacramento tonight. The Badgers open NIT play at the Kohl Center tomorrow night against Bradley. Marquette plays Vermont at the Big Dance Friday. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations. Hey, Wisconsin, voting is one of our fundamental rights. Every eligible citizen has the right to be heard. You need an acceptable photo ID to vote in the spring election on April 4th. Vote Riders provides free help to get your Wisconsin ID card. Please visit voteriders.org today. They can answer all your questions about voter ID and offer free help if you need an ID to vote. If you're a citizen and you need an ID, visit voteriders.org. Voteriders.org.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com. WAUK 540 AM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUK.
decapitated during a car accident. The wind tells me I'm a ghost, but I don't believe it, Bourne wrote. Do you think there was any way I was ever going to say she gets her information in the wind and not do my Nell impression? Because good luck. Because she got her information in a wind. Chick-a-bye.
There's a reason why I gave you this story.
All right. I'm not done. Well, asked about the wind that gives her her ideas, because they are.
What's going on?
Speaking of Oscars, did she win an Oscar for that? Because I was like, how do you know if it's good acting?
She didn't.
Who judges that's good acting? Oh, that was the best Chick-a-pee in a win I've ever. Yes. That was fantastic.
She didn't win an Oscar.
No? Well, because exactly. Some bullshit.
She's won Oscars for other things, just not that.
Yes, right. Okay. Okay. She, when asked about the wind that gives her her ideas, she said, well, let me ask you something. Do you believe in telepathy?
Okay. You know what? What the reporter thinks has no bearing on woman.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what you would say.
I believe she's a nutter.
In a discursive 40-minute interview with the Daily Beast, I bet, Bourne threw out a jumble.
Who got that assignment?
Someone drew a short straw for sure.
Yeah.
She threw out a jumble of ideas that centered on ties between telepaths, the Bank of the Vatican, sex cult, and the 1970s film Beneath the Planet of the Apes.
Wait, what?
Which is where she gets most of her information. What?
Why not Beyond Planet of the Apes?
I don't know.
Why beneath?
I don't know. She is headloose, isn't she? I mean, I don't know
The headline is Sidney Powell cited woman who claimed to be headless. Maria Bartiromo's interview with Sidney Powell, who pushed voter fog claims from a woman who got her information from the wind.
Been working so hard for the big orange blowhard. It's all lies, so what? I'll tell you just what I got. I've got this source who is just time traveling all around.
Time travel.
The time tunnel.
She's got a torso, but nowhere you can place a crown.
For a woman claiming to be a decapitated time traveler.
She got a head cut loose.
Uh-oh.
Head loose. Major source for Fox News. Sydney Louise. Cut me some slack, bitch, please. What a whack. Tinker Jack. Smoking a boatload of crack. Fox News. You lose. That lady had her head loose. In the wind now. That lady had her head loose.
Not a good time to lose one's head.
Favorites, Rocky Mountain Mike. Yes.
Someone tweeted they sell the cactus art at a kiosk in the Har Mar Mall.
That tracks.
Welcome to Har Mar. Who needs cactus art? Hard to get in Minnesota. It's reasonable. 21 minutes after the hour, this portion of the show brought to you by American Cruise Lines.
Uh-huh.
I'm already planning my next vacation. Maybe you're a history buff. Maybe you're a foodie. Maybe you just start to relax and take in the sights. American Cruise Lines has a little something for everybody. The mighty Mississippi River.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that one has your name on it, Chris. It
does. Well, yeah, because it's got food.
Civil War history, Cajun cuisine in New Orleans, the roots of rock and roll in Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
How about the Columbia Snake River, too? Beautiful. Mount St. Helens. Ooh, it's Mount Numa Falls. That's me doing a waterfall. And the Columbia River Gorge.
That's gorgeous.
Where Lewis and Clark. Yeah, they put the gorge in gorgeous. What? Where Lewis and Clark, right? You can retrace their steps. Come aboard. The newest fleet of American riverboats. Relax on your private balcony. Their crew provides the highest level of personalized service. Request your free cruise guide today at AmericanCruiseLines.com.
I'll say this about Stephanie's show. She's as harmless as a kitten.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Explore the mighty Mississippi River with American Cruise Lines. On this amazing journey,
You can discover Civil War history, savor Cajun cuisine in New Orleans, and experience the roots of rock and roll in Memphis. Aboard the newest fleet of American riverboats, relax on your private balcony as our crew provides the highest level of personalized service. Ready, everybody? Time to cruise. Request your free cruise guide today at AmericanCruiseLines.com. That's AmericanCruiseLines.com.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435. That's 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435.
Hey, it's Stephanie Miller. Here's what we're talking about. Jeremy in Colorado. Hi, Jer.
I just wanted to say about whether Marjorie Taylor Greene should be addressed in public. When you have someone whose job is to professionally incite violence against marginalized people, why should that person be able to enjoy public
quiet? Well, that's why
quiet?
She was removed from her committees. She suggested Nancy Pelosi
right.
should be yeah. executed. Find The Stephanie Miller Show every Monday through Friday at 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, right here on Progressive Voices.
Ew, it stinks in here.
Passing gas. Is there a right time and a wrong time to do it?
Come on, huh? I'm trying to eat.
When indoors in the company of others, passing gas is not only taboo, it can be deadly.
I'm gagging.
Passing gas releases a plume of toxic vapors like ammonia and hydrogen cyanide.
Oh, you're killing us over here.
Every year, hundreds of infants exposed to passed gas die.
What? I cracked a window?
And just opening a window isn't enough. These deadly fumes can linger in the room for hours after odors have dissipated.
Daddy, you promised you'd smoke outside.
You're right, Pumpkin. Excuse me.
If you smoke, take it outside. Don't pass gas. A message from the American Legacy Foundation and the Ad Council. Get the facts at don'tpassgas.org.
Arr! We be under attack. Man the long knives!
Prepare to be boarded.
Arr!
Flagship starboard bow!
What? No, not by the enemy flagship. By garbage. Me beautiful ocean be full of it these days. It flows in from rivers and drain pipes. Many of folk don't know that when they throw trash on the ground, it eventually makes its way into the ocean. How can I enjoy Sail Me Bonnie Seas with all this trash in it? Why, there's soda pop bottles, plastic bags, even stinky leftover takeout. Fire at will, men! Lend us a hand by always recycling and disposing of your trash properly. If you don't, I'll make you walk me plank. Nah, just kidding. Seriously, though. Learn more what you can do to keep the oceans healthy at KeepOceansClean.org. Brought to you by the Keep Oceans Clean Alliance and the Ad Council.
Stephanie Miller.
I get delirious whenever you need. Lose all self-control, baby, just delirium.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Judy Gold, comedian extraordinaire,
yes.
coming up for all of next hour. Chris, who
yes.
said tourists don't injure 140 police officers by sightseeing. Tourists don't break down doors to get to the Speaker of the House or voice threats against public officials. The American people have the right to know what took place on the at the Capitol January 6th. I expect members of the Fourth Estate to continue to do their job. Make no mistake about it. What happened that day was a disgrace, and it mocks decency to portray it any other way. Who said that?
Betty Rubble?
No, that was suddenly incredibly courageous Mike Pence.
You did?
Who said, I was not angry. I was not afraid, but I was angry. President Trump was wrong. I had no right to overturn the election, and his reckless words endangered my family and everyone at the Capitol that day. I know that history will hold Donald Trump accountable. Who said that?
Wilma Flintstone.
No, the suddenly super butch Mike Pence, who was advised to do that by his advisors, because I think Trump's about to get indicted and he's going to run for president.
But do it behind closed doors where there's no recording, so they can't play it on the news so everyone can hear you say
right.
it, Mike Pence.
Right. It was at the gridiron dinner. Pence's advisors were convinced the hard-hitting remarks would begin to forge Pence's profile as a presidential candidate and help win over his most skeptical audience.
Computer says no.
No, it has not won over anybody.
No one likes Mike Pence.
It is filed in the now a warning category from Mike Pence again.
He's kind of like this show. He's made for
no one. Now a warning?
He's what?
He's like this show. He's made for no one.
Yes, yes. He theoretically appeals to no one, which is like this show.
Why do we appeal to nobody?
Oh, well, because we're... We're too liberal for conservatives, and we're too politically incorrect for liberals. So it is not easy to devise a show that appeals to literally no one.
Maybe this is why we can't.
You're welcome.
We've appealed to nobody for 15 years.
Yes, we have. Okay, longer than that. Wait, it's longer than that.
Is it?
Yes.
Because we started in 2004.
It's almost 20, yeah.
Oh, my God, you're right. 19 years.
Ugh.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, the bassinet has been very busy. Oh, I guess I don't have time for all of them.
No, you don't.
Hooray! Oh, Jesus. This one's all caps. Oh, this is about the bank collapse that's caused because of his deregulation. Okay. We'll get to that statement for the bassinet. Oh, and then DeSantis's book sales. a lot of activity in the bassinet as we creep closer to indictment. 29 minutes after the hour, Stephanie Miller Show.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. President Biden says Americans can have confidence in the U.S. banking system following the collapse of two U.S. banks. Dean Baker is with the Center for Economic and Policy Research in Washington and says the banking downfall came because the companies took risks, did not account for inflation, and had large customer bases with uninsured accounts.
Most banks, the uninsured deposits are 10, 15, at most 20%. So they're not going to be in this situation. So it really was extraordinary.
A powerful winter storm has its eyes on the Northeast. New Jersey Department of Transportation Commissioner Diane Gutierrez-Sacchetti.
The winds are going to pick up. It is going to snow. It's going to turn back to rain. It's just going to be a messy, messy night out there.
We've learned that the president is approving the major Willow oil project on Alaska's petroleum-rich North Slope. But climate activists say the project puts his climate legacy at risk. It allows oil company ConocoPhillips to move forward with a huge drilling plan. CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matt-Nair. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin Supreme Court race expected to be the most expensive judicial race in history. Among the cases expected to come before the new court, Wisconsin's 1849 abortion ban, rules for voting in the 2024 presidential election, and gerrymandered maps. Liberal Milwaukee Circuit Court Judge Janet Protasiewicz facing off against former conservative Supreme Court Justice Daniel Kelly, with the court's 4-3 conservative majority hanging in the balance. The election is April 4th. It's daylight savings time, and as usual, conversations around ending the practice altogether arise. In the last 4 years, 15 states have enacted legislation or passed a resolution providing for year-round daylight savings time. Congress would need to act to approve it. There are mixed opinions on the benefits and drawbacks of making it permanent. State lawmakers have introduced bills over the last several years on both sides of the issue. I'm Jane Matt-Nair. This is Civic Media News.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Guys, stop putting your love life on hold. U.S. Pharmacy has some exciting news. If you've been wanting to try Viagra or Cialis, now's the perfect time. Call today and receive 90 little blue or little yellow pills for only $119 with free shipping. Why order some low-dose sildenafil from one of those subscription services when we can give you what you want now? Call 800-711-6818 and we'll rush your order discreetly packaged to your door. 800-711-6818.
The radio show your mother warned you about.
Actual tyranny of a dictator. Dictator's going to dictate Putin. And what did Trump do? Trump kneeled to the man. Embarrassing Republicans. And you're still with the guy? This is your front runner in 2024? Are you even smoking some of Mike Lindell's crack? What are you thinking?
They're the GCCCP. We are the devil's advocates.
Live weekday afternoons from 3 to 6.
I grew up hearing that women are bad with money, but I pay bills and take care of my family, so I'm pretty good with money. And now I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. Jumpstart your retirement savings at WeSaySaveIt.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Authorizing bounty hunters to roam the countryside suing local libraries and individual librarians. To spur this political malice, Mitchell's scheme provides a $10,000 reward for every violation of vigilante fines or fabricates. This is Jim Hightower saying, of course, repression doesn't recognize state borders, so the pernicious idea of paid library marauders is spreading across the country. To help defend your freedom, go to American Library Association, ALA.org.
To the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So again, I keep coming back to the reality as we do this over and over again. We've seen this movie. They crash the economy. We regulate. They deregulate. They crash the economy. We regulate. They crash the economy. They deregulate. They crash the economy. How many times do we have to do this dance? How many times do I have to see this bad repeat? How many sequels do we need? Because this could have been stopped from what I've been reading. And here to share some thoughts on, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm reading this wrong. Maybe Dodd-Frank's, which I thought was weak to begin with. We should have just gone back to Glass-Steagall, which seemed to work for a pretty good period of time. Would the original Dodd-Frank's have stopped this? That's why I've asked Renita Marcelin to come talk with us. Renita is the Advocacy and Legislative Director at Americans for Financial Reform. Their website, ourfinancialsecurity.org. Renita, thanks for taking time for us.
Hi, Rick. Thank you. Thanks for having me on. And yes, so far your assessment sounds about right to me. Probably going for the Fast and Furious franchise, trying to outpace them. So seems spot on. I think it's a mixture of a few things. One, you know, the rolling back of a lot of the protections that Dodd-Frank has, the quote-unquote tailoring for institutions. They moved the threshold from $50 billion to $250 billion. Before they did that, Silicon Valley Bank would have been within that threshold. And then there are some really good charts going around showing that actually after the rollback of that, which was in the law of the S2155 that I'm sure you've heard over and over by today's end, that after that bill was passed, Silicon Valley Bank, partially as a result, grew to what it is now. And at this size would have been under those Dodd-Frank rules, right? So those liquidity rules, those more frequent stress testing, you know, all would have been, the bank would have been subjected to that.
So, but here's the thing that gets me, and maybe we can spend a minute on this, because everybody on each side is trying to blame the other side. You know, you've got the Jesse Waters of the world and the fake news over at the F channel going, this is the woke agenda, the woke-tivists did this. And then you've got, you know, people like me going, this is what deregulation gets us. This is Trump's signature on this deregulation. This is what happens when you don't tax rich people enough. This is what happens when you have such outweighted power in the hands of these vulture capitalists. You start going, there are these polar opposites. And then we have bipartisanship.
which brings us deregulation, and go, well, we could work together and find the right regulations. I'm going, at some point, we working people have got to, I've got to stop this. So I guess I'm struggling in this moment why this is happening again and again and again, and why we put up with it.
I think, you know, we have a tendency, and by we, I mean probably the American government, that things, we fixed it. Everything is great. Like, let's go back. Things feel great. Let's go back to, you know, how we were living before. Like, you know, it's like our memories are very short, and then we end up going back. And like you said, you know, because this here is nothing new, right? Like you said, this is lessons that we learned from literally the Great Depression, that banks are subjected to run risk. And in order to do that, you know, you have strong capital requirements and you need strong liquidity requirements as well. So if folks keep knocking on your door, you have enough money for a runtime to pay them, right? You also know that, yes, rising interest rates environment, right? This kind of goes back to the savings and loans crisis of the 1990s, right? Rising interest rates, we've been in a period of low interest rates for so long. These are things to hedge, right? So what happened there? And then also there's the supervisors, right? From the San Francisco Fed to, you know, the Board of Governors in DC, like what's going on there? We know Qualls, back when he was a vice chair of supervision, specifically told supervisors to have a bit of a light touch, right? And I think that's a verbatim quote. And we see, you know, what's going on here. Like, is no one looking at these at the portfolios to see how much securities they have, and it's being subjected to this interest rate risk, and then your hedging strategy is not also going up? So this is all things that could have been prevented. And, you know, I want to underscore the point that we see how, and, you know, whether folks want to debate whether it's right or wrong, but we see how well our government can mobilize for, you know, institutions and large investors and, you know, VCs and such. And I, you know, there's some merit to it, but, you know, if I'm not meeting my bills, or if I'm going broke, or like most Americans, like I get slapped with an overdraft fee, right? Like people aren't coming to bail me out. That would be nice for a plane ticket or two, but it's not happening. So, you know, we see this asymmetrical response in how, you know, the government treats these large institutions versus consumers and everyday people.
Yeah, no, this is my point at the beginning. You know, we hold 18-year-old kids accountable for their student loans that they took out. And sorry, you knew what you were doing, and you're going to spend a lifetime paying those off. But these people, we bail them out every time. Why can't we let them fail? You know, why is it that they know we're not going to send them to the street corner with a tin cup and pencils. They know it. So that whole moral hazard argument they make, you know, we can't give those poor people $300 a month to feed their kids because, hey, you know, they'll get used to it and they'll get lazy. Can't we make that same argument for our vulture capitalists?
Yeah, I mean, I think absolutely. I think, you know, we still need to grapple in like what banking is in this country. Like, is it going to be a utility or is it going to be a private enterprise, right? And there are the people out there that are like, pull your boots up by the strap, or however that saying goes, pull your bootstraps up.
Pull yourself up by the bootstraps.
Yeah, exactly. I tend to forget it because it's such nonsensical. But anyways. But as we see here, clearly, you know, we could apply the same philosophy here, but we don't. And it's really unfortunate, like how we choose to define crime, how we choose to define who needs, you know, assistance, because again, it's not your everyday folks. And
yeah,
it's
I'm glad you brought up crime. I'm glad you brought up crime, because I got to tell you, you know, hours, literally hours before you're saying it's going broke, you're taking bonuses. Literally hours, you're distributing out bonuses. You don't have the money to pay your depositors, but you're going to put money into your own pockets. And you've got the president. And look, I like Joe Biden. I think he's doing a good job. I like a lot of the things he's done. But to say we're going to hold people fully accountable, what does fully accountable mean if those people aren't in shiny handcuffs? How come we don't give those people bracelets and perp walk them when they're doing this kind of stuff? That, to me, would be the beginning of fully accountable.
Yeah, I think, again, the issue is, and I'm still, you know, gathering what exactly has happened. I think there's been, you know, some reports on that exactly. But, for example, going back to Dodd-Frank, you know, there were rules for executive compensation and limiting that and incentivizing folks not to go out and take these ridiculous risks only to end up paying themselves in the end. And those rules, right, under Dodd-Frank, it's been 13 years, if I can count properly, they have not been written as yet. Right. So there's that. And again, right, assuming all of this, and even if now there's been lots of other instances of that, how we choose to define, like, what is wage theft, for example, or what is something that is morally wrong is very skewed, because they do it and, like, well, it's in our contracts and it's a perfectly legal thing. But, you know, to the average person, this, like, violates every notion of fairness that we have.
We're simply, oops, we didn't, oops, we didn't, yeah. Oops. We promise not to do it again until the next time.
Yeah, precisely, yeah.
You know, we'll post a notice saying we won't do union busting or wage theft or crash your economy again. We'll post a notice and say we're sorry, and we won't do it until next time. I mean, this is the part that really drives me insane. Renita, it's so frustrating. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show. We're here with Renita Marcellin. She is the advocacy and legislative director at Americans for Financial Reform. Ourfinancialsecurity.org is their website. We'll get links out on social media how you can take a look at this. So this is the point. I guess we're going to start bailing them out. We don't know how deep this is going to go yet, and I have no idea how bad this is going to get. But it's apparent to me we're gonna do what we always do. We're gonna open up the checkbook and go, yeah, we bailed you out again this time. How do we make sure that we don't do this again? And what is it that we should be doing as working people to say, no, we're not gonna allow this to happen again? You know, and I know we went through this in 2009 and 10, and I know I went through it before in the 90s, but I guess we got to go through this relearning exercise. So what reforms should we be doing?
Yeah. So, you know, again, and I hate to sound like a broken record, because so much of the reforms have been figured out, and it's just a matter of, like, sticking to our guns when we actually propose them. So, you know, getting back to right now, there's been a huge lobbying effort to Michael Barr, the new vice chair of supervision, has announced a holistic review of capital requirements. There has been a whole move by the banking industry to completely undo that, or to say leave capital requirements exactly where they are. Nothing, everything is fine. And then now this happens. So I think first and foremost, this is like raving, like red flag that everything is not fine, and we need strong capital requirements. We need strong liquidity requirements, right? Like, we need to not lose sight of the ball again. Stress testing, right? Like, how often are these banks tested? What are they tested for? Are these stress tests actually stressful? And, you know, redoing that. We have the international body that sets regulations and rules for banks across the globe, known as the Basel Committee. They have announced new rules, and again, there is this effort you see to already diminish those rules or to delay their implementation. Lawmakers should be vigilant against these cries, because we know what we need, right? The matter is just, do we have the political courage to do it? And I think it's time to show that we do. And then going back to this idea of deposit insurance, again, if we're going to say banking is a utility, then it's time it's regulated as such. And, like, let's have that discussion in the public discourse. But right now we're treating it as a utility, but regulating it as a private enterprise. And then we see, you know, episodes like this, and everyone is like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. And fairly so, right? If you think that depositors should be made whole every time, and that's a fair thing, right? Like, that's a fair position to take. That's fine, but it shouldn't be done on this ad hoc basis where, you know, we're going to bail out folks because now it's unusual and exigent circumstances. This is going to be in the public discourse, and there's going to be the accompanying rules that make sure we don't have to do this every couple of years. And I think that's the issue that's really taking folks, you know, like yourself and myself, really to task, is like, if we're going to have this implicit guarantee, then it needs to be better rules.
No, absolutely. And the other part of this is, you know, Peter Thiel's name is being thrown around an awful lot as someone who triggered this. And I don't know what your thoughts on this is, but you know, the reality is you look at our banking system, I mean, the fractional banking system, runs on banks can happen when you have panics. So this kind of, you know, one off could seriously trigger a mass panic where we're running on all, so people are going, no, I want my money now. I don't believe the banks have all our money for easy, because they've lent it out and they've done other investments with it. So this, to have someone like Thiel and these other vulture capitalists, you know, pulling this shenanigans.
Yeah, I think it just underscores the need for us to get these rules long, that to get them right, because now we're entering this new banking system that has happened, not playing out in the streets with long lines, but literally people using their, you know, taking out money, and it's all happening in like 48 hours while everyone's in The Last of Us or something, right? Like that's, we're entering a whole new phase of banking. And if we don't get the basics right, which we've learned, right, deposit insurance, how are we going to face the banking system of the 21st century? And I think this underscores, so to underscore that.
So last question I've got for you, obviously this is what you follow. What are you paying attention to this week? Because clearly we're still at the beginning of what thing. Are there more failures to come? Is this going to stave off the checkbook? We're going to make sure that everyone's made whole so there won't be more runs.
Yeah, I'd like to see one. You know, we've had reports this morning for mid-sized banks, you know, First Republic, some of their names, but a lot of the mid-sized, you know, bank stocks were severely down. Day, like to see what happens, what comes out of there. The Fed's facility, the term sheet, want to see what and like, you know, which banks are going to be utilizing that. So I'd like to see there, and then really from there see, you know, how bipartisan, but like to see how, you know, Democrats themselves coming out of this episode, and you know, in the spirit of bipartisanship, try to work with the other side and see how, what, you know, how they position themselves coming out of this, for folks like me to be working nonstop over.
No, it's going to be interesting to see where this goes, and I appreciate you taking time. I hope you'll come back and share some more as this continues. Come soon. Renita, I appreciate you taking some time for us.
Yes. Thank you so much, Rick. It was a pleasure.
Good Bye. Stuff. I look forward to talking to you again. Renita Marcelin, she is the Advocacy and Legislative Director that form ourfinancialsecurity.org is the website. If you want to take right back, stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. 7425.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1946. United Auto Worker members won an 18.5-cent hourly raise after a 4-month strike. World War II, workers grew increased. Were a time of labor peace. Not to go out on strike in order. But during the war, as companies felt that they were not receiving a fair share. Worse, war consumer goods skyrocket. A dollar simply could not. After the war ended, the workers wanted to make up for the ground they felt. A wave of strikes washed over the United States. Walter Ruth on November 21st, 1940, was a 30% raise. Ruther publicly argued that General raise without raising the price of their cars. he urged the company to open its books so the public could see their finances. The UAW laid out its reasoning in a report entitled Purchasing Power for Prosperity, 100 Days. But the union had done a good job making it. General Motors agreed to a raise, as well as improved recognition of seniority and promotions. Members, the contract was seen for organized labor to take a seat at the table. For organized labor to take a seat at the table with capital. The certified Reuther as the leader of the UAW and a powerful voice for workers. Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and the Rick Smith Show.
You're listening to the Rick Smith Show.
The reality is, we've seen this movie again and again. We continue to go, no, you rich folks. You, by all means, you're the do with all the money. And they do hoard it for themselves. And we end up again tab and never hold anyone accountable. Let's go to the phones. Got it. Angie, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you, Rick?
I am.
Oh, hold on. Let me put you on speaker. I just want to say, this, as far as like the rich folks, I look just like if you watch the TV show Hoarders, they hoard money. They have so much of it that they could, but they just can't get enough of it. About accountability, I feel locking them up, period. Just locking them up. More harsh than that, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to hanging street.
I was just going to tar and feather, but you're going right there.
Think that we should take the worst of the worst and hang them in public and scare the shit out of the rest of them. There's no other way it's going to stop.
As my friend Rich says, we each come in line. I'm not advocating for hanging or eating or anything. I understand the anger.
Well, I know one person if could hang in public that would make a difference. And if I'm sorry. If we don't do that,
I'm not there with you. I'm not there, but I am. I'm all prison and taking away all their stuff would be a much, much worse penalty. I'm going to go with you.
All right. Fair enough.
I appreciate the thoughts, though.
Yep. You have a great night.
Thank you, Angie. Wow. Okay, right there. Now, look, that's not a unique perspective. See, I remember in 2009 and 10 when we were working with the Home Defenders League, and we sheriffs from entering people. People's homes when they're being foreclosed on, and that sentiment was front and center, you know, as the people, you know, were still going to their high society functions, and average everyday working people were losing their homes because of the schemes that they dreamt that Wall Street and I understand the sentiment. Not gonna. How did Chris Rock put it? I don't condone it, but I understand. I do understand. But it's this kind of anger, and it's good to have this kind of anger. It's good to be ticked off. Again, the story that we're told time and time again is that, you know, the rich when I start talking about, and I went through this last week with Biden's budget. You know, I said, look, it's about time we have a minimum tax on rich. Start, you know, clawing back some of the wealth that we've given away, bled, died for. And that we use it in a way to better our, better roads, bridges, better infrastructure, better opportunity. And yet, as Angie said, they're hoarders. From the beginning, I go back to being a kid in the late 70s as, you know, if we cut taxes down to nothing, and we let the entrepreneurs and the smart people, we let them just, it's going to be this utopia, and there'll be this trickle down, this gold and honey, manna from heaven. It'll be so what they'll share. And as Angie said, they hoard. They're holding a mind. Insatiable appetite for more knows no limits. And as I said a minute ago, you know, the extra bucks into the pockets of single mothers to make sure that their kids, pockets of veterans, so that they don't go homeless. You know, in the wealthiest country. But we can open up the checkbook and mobilize the country and have a Zoom. For a working person, when was the last time they said, you know what, we're going to convene a Zoom call to make sure that the Smiths and the Joneses and the people of Wisconsin and Iowa and Illinois, that they're going to lose their homes? We got to stop this. When did that ever happen?
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.